Thanks indeed, Eamon. The great news is I've...
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.
Been filling in for Pat yesterday and today. Pat will be back tomorrow. Normal service resumed. It's a pleasure now to welcome the Israeli ambassador, Dana Ehrlich, who's joining me in studio. And of course, there isn't a day goes by. Yesterday we were speaking to Peter Power of UNICEF. Later in the programme, we'll be speaking to Deirdre Garvey of the Irish Red Cross in relation to the humanitarian situation in Gaza. If I could start, Ambassador, and you're welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
The development of taking the IDF, taking control of the Al-Shifa hospital in Gaza City, under international humanitarian law, hospitals are protected spaces.
Under international law, what Hamas are doing in hospitals and other civilian infrastructure is a double war crime, because not only they are abusing that civilian infrastructure, but they are firing from it, making it a viable target according to international law. And we've seen that repeatedly committed by Hamas, and I'm still surprised that we didn't hear any condemnation from the World Health Organization. I didn't hear any condemnation here in Ireland for the abuse of a hospital by Hamas and what we've seen there, stockpiles of weapons and loads of cash to be given to terrorists. That is horrible abuse. We've found hundreds of terrorists hiding there because they thought that the IDF will not go in.
So I want to be specific about this in terms of humanitarian law. Hospitals are defined as protected spaces, and they are very strict about what you can do in attacking them, because you have very vulnerable people who are clearly ill in hospital who can be and are collateral damage.
Of course. And when those hospitals are being abused as launch pads and headquarters of terrorism, unfortunately, they are a viable target according to that same international law. And this is why it's a double war crime. And this is what we should be condemning. That operation was not done lightly. It took a long time to organize it and make sure that the less casualties as possible, as we've seen in other hospitals. But what we see time and time again, that Hamas abuses the population, schools, hospital, mosques, not to mention UN organizations, and that is not being condemned or called out here. Why is that? Why are they getting off the hook? Why are they giving a free ride?
Okay, the focus right now is the horrendous situation, the catastrophic levels of hunger in Gaza. 2.2 million people at risk of starvation. Now, Peter Parry of UNICEF, who has no political axe to grind, speaks of five crossing points, which he has visited personally, whereby lorries and trucks with aid are simply not allowed in. Is that not inhuman, to deny ordinary people, not Hamas fighters, food?
I'll separate the question. First of all, I don't blame Peter Power for saying that. UNICEF here in Ireland is getting paid to campaign for Palestinian children. They are not getting paid to speak on behalf of Israeli children, and that is why they're not even mentioning the Israeli children who are now kidnapped in Gaza. So he's doing his job, campaigning for money to be given for Gaza.
No, in fairness to UNICEF, are only that interested in the humanitarian issue.
Well, they're
issue.
Collecting money for that, and this is why they're echoing that voice, but they're not echoing the voices of
Israeli
children.
No, because I asked him about the political situation, and he absolutely was at pains not to get into the rights and wrongs or to take sides. He spoke about the urgency of the situation, where 1.1 million people are about to actually starve to death. I mean, irrespective of what you do on the military front in Rafah or in northern Gaza, surely letting trucks through is not a hazard
there
to Israeli security.
There is a lot of misinformation. So let me be very clear, and we've said it, and I'll say it as many times as needed. There are no limitations, and there is no limit of how much aid can go in. We've facilitated now aid in more crossings through the land, through air, and through the ocean as well, with the maritime corridor that we facilitated. Every day we sit with UN organizations to make sure that more and more aid goes in. And if we talk about numbers, we're talking about 5,000 tons of food that goes in every day. Just the day before yesterday, 222 trucks that went into Gaza. The problem is not aid going into Gaza. The problem is aid being distributed in Gaza. And we've seen the looting and thefts and control by Hamas of those trucks. We see, and we hear the concerns of UN organizations for that. Unfortunately, they don't echo those concerns publicly because they're concerned by Hamas.
He quoted from this really extensive, long IPC report, which actually monitored the situation in relation to the entire population of the Gaza Strip, 2.2 million people.
Let me just correct you about some information about the IPC. Yes, thank you for bringing up that report. That is a projection. It's not the situation on the ground. It's a projection of what might happen. And that, and they agreed and they also admitted that all of that projection does not take into account the current scale-up attempts to bring more and more aid. So all of the efforts that were done in the past week to make sure that more trucks go in, that more aid goes through the air and through the sea, that's not calculated in their projection. They're not telling the situation.
So you're saying the aid will increase?
It's already increasing. It's increasing every day. The average is about of 130, 150 trucks every day. Again, just 2 days ago, 222 trucks. We're talking about, from the beginning of the war, about 33,100 tons of trucks that go in. So food is going in, aid is going in, okay. Supplies are going in. We need to make sure that those are being distributed correctly. We need to make sure that it gets to all the people in Gaza.
Okay. There's an article in today's, as a column in today's Irish Times, and today being the 20th of March. And Senator Michael McDougall, very prominent in the recent referendum campaigns, he quotes a number of things, but basically his central theme is enough is enough. Whatever support there was for Israel around the atrocities and the awful situation on the 7th of October, that with each passing week and day, you're losing support. And this culminated last week, where one of the leading Jewish politicians in America, Senator Chuck Schumer, the most senior US political figure, came out straight and said that actually Netanyahu, your prime minister, is sustaining the war to keep himself in power, and that what's required is an election to bring about a situation where there may be a ceasefire and a peace settlement. Surely that is common sense. And when one of your own is actually saying this, you have to listen.
What I'll agree with is that enough is enough. None of this should have started. This can all end if the kidnapped are released and if Hamas lay down the weapon. And even leadership here in Ireland says Hamas is not part of the solution. Hamas cannot stay in power and Hamas needs to be disarmed. But first of all, we need to make sure that the kidnapped are returned safely home. When we talk about Hamas's atrocities, people here sometimes forget that we're not just talking about the horrible things that happened on October 7th. This war started on October 7th and has continued every day by Hamas. They're now prolonging the negotiations. They're now delaying a possible humanitarian ceasefire. They're not willing to let all of the kidnapped go. That needs to be said. If you want to criticize Israel, obviously that is legitimate. We'll accept that. But you cannot blame us solely and not hold Hamas accountable for what they're doing day in and day out, not just for Israel, but for their own population.
No, but there were people like Senator Chuck Schumer who were four square behind you, who are now raising questions. There's a suggestion that if there was a general election, that Netanyahu and his proposed attack into Rafah, his refusal to countenance seriously peace talks and so on, that he is actually the biggest problem here. Do you accept that?
I don't accept some of the arguments that you made there, because we've shown time and time again that we are seeking to go into the discussions for the negotiation table on a possible deal, because we want to see all the kidnapped return. And we see the abused, cynical playbook of Hamas, that time and time again, they prolong these discussions. They make outrageous comments, knowing that the pressure will be on Israel. And there is no pressure on Hamas. Nobody is saying what Hamas is doing to their own population. Again, you see an abuse like that on a hospital, and there are no voices that are saying, condemning Hamas on that.
Well, you speak of hostages, but what about your hostages? You have some 5,000 captured, identified Hamas fighters. Are they being tortured? What is their plight?
Well, I'll make a very, very clear distinction between kidnapped people, kidnapped from their beds, from their homes, civilians, and prisoners that are taken because they are actively involved in a war crimes and actively involved in war with a terrorist organization. That is a very clear distinction.
I understand the Israelis are sending a delegation to Washington to argue for their plan to smash Rafah. What can you tell us about
that? I object that comment about smashing Rafah. The operation in Rafah is the next step needed in order to make sure that we address all the headquarters and threat by Hamas. We're doing it very carefully and very calculated. Just look at the time since we started talking about a possible operation in Rafah and the fact that it didn't happen yet. Everything we say and do is according to the rules of law, under international law. When we say that, and I know that it's repeated here a lot of times, people repeat these legal terms, we take it very seriously. When we make accusations, for example, against UNRWA, we take it very seriously. And just, I got into some new information about UNRWA, which is very alarming. We know about the 15 employees that were directly involved in the October 7th attack. But 2,135 of their employees in Gaza are active members of terror organizations. That is 17% of their employees in Gaza. 485 are active in the military wing of the terror organizations. At least 18 principals of UNRWA schools are members of terror organizations.
Okay.
At least 32 infrastructures of UNRWA include terror infrastructure, and that is shafts, tunnels, headquarters, stockpiles of weapons, launch pads, observation. So that needs to be called out.
Okay. And you're very well briefed and articulate on supporting the IDF line. But I put it to you, in the real world, not only Chuck Schumer, not only the Jewish community in America, but German Chancellor Olaf Scholz is now no longer supporting the continued activity. Joseph Borrell, who is the EU Foreign Effective Commissioner, saying that Gaza was before the war the greatest open-air prison. It's now the greatest open-air graveyard. I put it to you that actually you're turning Israel into a pariah state.
Well, what the Borrell said and his comments repeatedly have been controversial, and we've rejected that. He's made some borderline anti-Semitic
remarks. My question was, you're losing the propaganda war.
Right now, this war is about bringing the kidnapped home and making sure that we can live in our country, in the only Jewish state in the world. We need to make sure that the minimum security is being held to make sure that our people are safe. But we also do that making sure that the food crisis in Gaza is addressed. We're trying to make sure that there are no civilian casualties in Gaza, which is much more than other organizations.
There's 31,000 deaths.
You're repeating a number given by Hamas, so I'll be very careful when repeating it so quickly. And even when we look at those numbers, also, whenever we talk about those numbers, it becomes a very cynical statistic game, because no number is low enough. No one should have died in this war. This war shouldn't have started. But now that Hamas started this war, we need to make sure that our people are safe. And when I'm sitting here, I'm not representing just the government of Israel. I'm representing my people, the people in Israel who want to live in peace. And also, when I understand the pro-Palestinian sentiment here in Ireland, but you're not giving them a better life if you're letting Hamas stay in control. Do this for the benefit of the Palestinian people.
Are you saying that the aid organizations are parroting Hamas statistics?
I say that the aid organizations on the ground in Gaza, some of them are at the mercy of Hamas, and we see the
looting. So everyone's lying except Israel?
We're giving proof and evidence, and everything that we say is backed by photo, by knowledge, by intelligence. We're happy to share it with everybody who wants. I'm happy to sit with the leadership in Ireland again and share everything that we know, that we've shared in the past, all the current information.
You speak about having a nation state for Jewish people in Israel, but what about these new illegal Israeli settlements in the West Bank? Sinn Féin are proposing the Illegal Israeli Settlements Divestment Bill, which would mean that there would be sanctions against any Israeli firm, and they're bringing this before the Dáil. What's your response to that?
I think that's an internal issue that is still being discussed here and has not been decided. I would hate to see Ireland economically get hurt also from sanctions that do not benefit Ireland itself. And whenever we talk about these sanctions or boycotts, I'm surprised. I understand that there is a long history here in Ireland regarding boycotts. But what we see is a general delegitimation of Israel. When you delegitimize all of Israel because of policies that you don't agree with, that is the new evolution of antisemitism.
And what would you say? Because I have a lot of texts here in front of me saying they really don't want to hear from you. How, you know, that they just had enough. What do you say?
We get a lot of support. We get a lot of emails. We get a lot of phone calls. We get a lot of approach from people who tell us that they understand our right to defend ourselves, that they are concerned about the situation, but they're also concerned about Israel. And we appreciate that. What I'm worried about is that I see how important the freedom of speech here is in Ireland. I don't see freedom of opinion. I see how people are bullied when they present different opinions. It's not allowed not only to support Israel here, but to present a balanced view. And when I talk about a balanced view, you need to ask some hard questions about what Hamas is doing in Gaza that are not being asked publicly. The media is not asking them, leadership, I don't hear them asking that publicly. And I see the different leaders of opposition, women leaders, who didn't condemn and didn't call out Hamas for the horrible sexual violence atrocities committed recorded.
So when a child, some 13,000 children have been killed, you see them as Hamas, do you?
No, and again, you're repeating numbers given by Hamas. So those numbers, we can never know what the actual numbers know. What we do know is that within all the overall number, Hamas includes their own terrorists in the numbers that they give. So that needs to be taken into consideration. And again, I don't think any child should die. Not on our side, on the Israeli side, and not on the Palestinian side. This can stop tomorrow, if all the kidnapped are released, and if Hamas surrenders. When everybody call here for a ceasefire is a bilateral action. And right now, the only finger being pointed here is at Israel. Now, we've come to the negotiation table time and time again because we want to see the kidnapped return. We don't see that the way from Hamas. We see a cynical abuse of the pressure being put on Israel by Hamas.
What about the historical perspective here? I remember in relation to the conflict in Northern Ireland, at one point, after nearly two decades of the Troubles, as they're called, the British government said, there could be no military victory. And I put it to you that all you're going to succeed in doing in this war is to have a new generation of Palestinian people who will become jihadis, who you're actually buying into a process of perpetual conflict here, which will not provide security. There can only be a political solution at the end.
The indoctrination of hate, unfortunately, we've seen in Gaza before October 7th, when you have 18 principals of UNRWA who are members of Hamas, and when you have the textbooks who teach anti-Semitism and hatred. But separating from that and looking at Irish history, there are many differences that need to be acknowledged. And even if there are similarities, those similarities might correlate with the past negotiations we had with the Palestinian Authority. When we talk about Hamas, that is a genocidal, coward terror organization that is hiding behind its population and does not want coexistence. It wants for its population to be killed in order to pressure Israel.
All right. Israeli Ambassador Dana Ehrlich, do let me know your views. 53106.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.